This is the Retirement Playbook with Brock Allspaugh from Allspaugh Wealth Management. You need a financial strategy that counts for challenges like market volatility and inflation, and that also adequately prepares you for retirement. The purpose of the Retirement Playbook is to address common financial concerns, provide helpful strategies, and offer ways you may be able to achieve your financial goals. And now here's the Retirement Playbook with Brock Allspaugh.
Hello and welcome in to the Retirement Playbook brought to you by Allspaugh Wealth Management. And we have a special guest in the house today. It's Mr. Tony Shore.
Brock, you are a madman. I love it. Wow. Thanks for having me. We're actually in person.
We are in person. Hi.
Hey, yeah. Right there. Yeah.
High
right,
five.
Right. Well, actually, you know what?
Will that work? Can we do that?
Yeah, actually, let me do something here. Now we can do it. Look.
Yeah.
Now we're pointing.
There you go.
Boom. There. High five. All right. We are in the same room, actually. Yeah. So this is fun. And this episode of the Retirement Playbook is going to be better than ever because we're going to talk about a lot of changes, some changes in you've got some new additions coming up. We're going to tease what you're going to be doing.
Yep.
In addition to your retirement and income planning and investment strategies, you have a new endeavor, and we'll talk a little bit about that. There's changes to Social Security that we're going to talk about.
Yep.
So before we get into all that, though, Brock, it's been a hot minute. How have you been doing?
I have been doing fantastic. Thank you for asking, Tony. It's been a little bit since we've done a show here. So it's good to be back. It's good to be talking about retirement and one of the most cornerstone pieces to a lot of people's retirement income plan, which is Social Security. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. I've been doing great. Still eating pizza and wings. I don't know what else to say. I've been great. Everything's good. How about you?
Yeah. Still eating pizza and wings myself. Okay. Yeah.
I had a little deep dish last night here in Minnesota.
Oh man. Green Mill, I hope.
It was the Green Mill.
Yeah, that's the best deep dish in Minnesota, in
half
my opinion.
Half off on Tuesday nights. Did you know this?
I did not. If a guy says
he loves pizza, you should know this.
I should have been there. Now that I do know that, had I known that, I would have also been a Green Mill.
It was good. It was good. I love it up here. I know a lot of people, it's too cold up there, but I enjoy coming up here and visiting the folks here at Gradient Financial Group. So been a big part of our life. Been very grateful to work with you guys and your group. Except for maybe you, Tony. I'm not sure if I'm grateful for that or not. But anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm excited for the show. Let's get into it.
Well, yeah, for sure. I think that it's really important that people understand the changes that are happening, what that means to them. So we're talking about Social Security. Mm-hmm. Each year there's an adjustment. What's that called?
Yeah, it's the cost of living adjustment.
Okay.
And so it's a way that the government says, hey, things cost more now.
Yep.
due to inflation. And we'll get into the specifics of this. But basically saying, OK, things cost more. So we're going to give you an increase in your Social Security benefit to help offset some of that. So for this year, it's 2.8, for starting in 2026, it's a 2.8% increase, Tony. So, a couple of years of back-to-back increases. And by the way, that translates to about $56 more per month for the average person, maybe $88 for the average married couple. So, it's a few dinners or whatever it may be, but it's significant, right? And so people lean on this to, again, offset the cost of increased goods and services. So, yeah, it's good.
I find it interesting, we're hopefully today is the last day of the government shutdown.
Yeah.
As we record this, the House, the Senate has passed it to reopen the government. After 40 some plus days, it's been bad.
Yep.
However, I think where are we at? 42 days, 44 days. However, the I know that the House still has to pass it, and the government, the president has to sign it. The president said he would sign it. Mm-hmm. We need it to pass in the House, and that might happen today, later on today. So, but that delay, the government being shut down, delayed the announcement of the Social Security adjustment, didn't it?
It did. It did. And, you know, the reason, one of the main reasons why, is because they have to finalize the calculation. And the calculation to use to determine the increase of the COLA is CPI, which is the consumer price index data that's used to do this. So, you know, it's one of those things where, it's unfortunate that we couldn't get that out in time, but it's not the end of the world because it doesn't start until next year anyway. So, you know, and by the way, so 2.8%, by the way, Tony, that is pretty typical of what the average increase has been on the cost of living adjustments. So, it's right in line with historical averages. So that's nice. Inflation is currently around 3%. So it's right there in line with where inflation is right now as far as cost of goods and services increasing. So keeping up with that is obviously ideal, right?
Yeah.
It's to say, hey, you know, you're not going to have to reduce your lifestyle necessarily because things cost more because you're going to get an increase in pay.
So, sure. Yeah. Well, I'm glad, you know, my mom always used to say, Brock, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Have you ever heard that phrase?
I have never heard that before.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. In other words, a lot of people are like, man, 2.8% isn't very much. Mm. And in retirement, every dollar counts. Sure, we always hope for more. But mom says, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, which you judge a horse's age and their health by looking at their teeth.
Yeah.
And so back in the day, you know, the vet would, you could, when you'd buy a horse from somebody, you'd lift up their gums and look in their mouth, and the how well their teeth were, that is indicative of if they're a healthy horse, and you could tell how old they were.
Man, look at this. Dropping the knowledge. We're talking about pizzas and horses. I mean, what else could you want from a retirement playbook show?
So, but I think people might have gotten spoiled because of the higher rate, right? That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, inflation was at 9% temporarily there for a while, too. So, anyway, it works out in the end. Averages, like you know, it may not be right away, but over time it will average to be this. And so we're going to be there at that point. You know, there's a couple things that when you're talking about retirement income planning, Tony, that everybody should consider when you're, you know, working with hopefully an advisor that can help you do this. But if you're not factoring in taxes and inflation into your retirement income plan, you are way less likely to succeed in your retirement income plan, because those two things alone can be devastating to your retirement income. And so what are you doing to make sure that you have enough income, which then also comes from what? Social Security projections, making sure that you take it at the right time between you and your spouse. And then also in your asset planning. So when you have your assets that are providing the income to you in retirement, IRAs, 401ks, what have you, that withdrawal that you're showing an increasing withdrawal from your accounts too. And again, if you just flatlined Social Security and if you just flatlined your withdrawals from your accounts, it's not a realistic picture, folks. And
no.
So the big caution to you that if you or working with someone or trying to do this yourself, that's not doing that, it, you know, I would reconsider working with that person. So,
well, for sure. And I mean, if you've said many times on the show, Brock, that Social Security is the foundation of any solid retirement 100%. Income plan. Yeah. That's kind of where you start. And so you want to make sure you're doing the right things with Social Security. It's great that, hey, inflation is around 3% right now. The cost of living adjustment was just under 3. Mm-hmm. You know, it has been as low as 0 and it's been as high as 8.7 recently. So that's a big range. But on average, like you just said, it's typically in the 2-3% range, isn't it?
It is. It is. And Tony, can you tell me what year automatic cost of living adjustment started with Social Security benefits?
The COLA adjustment?
Yeah.
Boy, I want to say 60s or 70s.
75. 1975. Before that, Congress had to approve benefit increases manually.
Oh,
Yeah.
So and nowadays, I'm glad they don't have to do that anymore.
Oh, gosh. Can you imagine how long that would take?
I mean, they couldn't even keep the entire government open. It closed down practically. Well,
okay. So if we're going to just go down this rabbit hole, let's go down it. And this is, again, this is pure opinion. This is not
right
anyway. So why are we getting to a point in our government? And it's been this way. It's been this way for 30 years where we're constantly negotiating on increasing the debt ceiling. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And so now they've put that on steroids and said, okay, well now we're going to use the debt ceiling as a negotiation tool for everything else that we want accomplished. Right.
And basically talking about negotiating higher debt. It's like,
it's unbelievable.
And it's not whether we go into debt or spend more money than we take in. It's how much we want to be able to push for more debt and to spend more than we take in than the previous year. Right?
Correct. That is correct. And so you're talking about budget, you're talking about what your budget is for that particular year. And if you run a deficit on that, what does that do? It increases your debt. So deficit and debt are two completely different things.
Yeah.
They get used interchangeably sometimes, but that's the deal here. And Tony, you hit it on the head. It's like, we're constantly working and on increasing our credit card limit is essentially what we're talking about
here. Yeah. I'm already $20,000 in credit card debt, but I'm going to work really hard and argue and put all my effort into raising my limit so I can go further into debt. That's what we're talking about.
Instead of saying, okay, why don't we develop a plan to reduce our debt?
Right.
It's truly unbelievable.
It's infuriating.
It is infuriating.
But what makes it worse is that they are willing to sacrifice people's livelihoods, not their own, but our government, our Congress,
right,
the Senate and the House are willing to let other people, workers, suffer, and government, federal employees and public servants. Well, they argue about how much we can increase our debt limit.
It's one of those things, Tony, that you go, okay, this is, first of all, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
Second of all, putting people in that predicament is horrible.
It is horrible.
And then to say you must work. Anyway, we're getting off track here.
It is infuriating to know they should make my solution is they should lock them. They should not get paid during this time. And during that, 40 some days, they've had a couple of week-long breaks in there, and they should not be allowed to take a break.
Right.
They should be locked in the state capitol, and they should have armed guards at the door and say, you're not coming out and you're not getting paid until you open up the government. That's ridiculous.
We're derailing the conversation here. So I think most people agree with this conversation.
I would hope so.
I mean, but they, and this is why people don't like government and they don't trust government. They don't trust politicians because of stuff like this Okay. So listen, the other thing with Social Security, Tony, is that, there's something, when you are claiming your benefits, that if you claim before your full retirement age, there's a little bit of a penalty there. And so they withhold $1 for every $2 earned over $24,480 annually before your full retirement age. So 67 for most people now. And then $1 for every $3 above 65,000. So people talk to me about this all the time. They're like, hey, this penalty, do I get some of it back? Yes, you get most of it back. So if they withhold benefits, you get some of that back at your full retirement age, but not all of it. So here's the deal. Avoid the situation, right?
Yeah. But you do lock in a lower rate and you're going to keep working and not get the benefit right away anyway. Listen, it doesn't make sense.
If you're working, don't take your benefits. That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that hard. And so, figuring that situation out is again, to me, it's pretty simple, but anyway, Sure. So I digress. The other thing is the Social Security taxable wages. So people that are working, the cap as to how much of your salary is subject to Social Security tax, the FICA tax, is going up in 2026 to $184,500. That thing has skyrocketed here in the last few years. So more of your wages are going to be subject to the FICA tax. That's up $8,400, by the way, from this year.
Interesting.
And then work credits determine eligibility. You're eligible for Social Security benefits if you have 40 credits, which is basically 10 years of contributing to Social Security taxes. And by the way, each credit, one credit equals $1,890. So you have to earn that much in a quarter. So 3 months to be eligible for benefits.
Wow.
So anyway.
So yeah, and that's how it works. It is important to understand that. I think most people will work enough in their lives to easily get the credits, but it is something you have to look at. Now, we haven't talked about Social Security in a while. Mm-hmm. And since we're on the topic, you alluded to it, but timing really is crucial with Social Security. So it's if we crucial. Have listeners or viewers out there, Brock, that have not yet filed for Social Security or just filed, they need to get together with you in your office or a trusted financial services professional who's offering a Social Security maximization report. Before they file, have that discussion, look at your overall plan, because it can really affect your benefit, right?
When you elect your benefits is by far the most important factor when it comes to Social Security, right? Yeah. So, you know, and you have things like your own record, right? Your spouse has benefits. And so, you know, maybe that, you know, she has or he has lower benefits, but then maybe the spousal benefit kicks in there. So you got spousal benefits. And so I think most people understand that and most of the time try to consider spousal benefits. But then the one that most people forget about, Tony, is survivorship benefits. And so developing a strategy that maximizes the amount of Social Security you would get over your lifetime versus just looking at this from a monthly perspective of, oh, hey, if I elect at this age, I'm going to get this much a month. And then the longer I defer, you know, get the delayed retirement credits, then I'll, you know, have a little bit more monthly income, but I've missed out on those paychecks. That's what everybody, you know, talks about and considers.
Yeah.
But the survivorship benefit can be such a big impact on your overall financial picture. Now, you don't know how long you're going to live, okay? So you don't know how long you're going to live. So we got to, you know, be prudent about this decision and just kind of use normal life expectancies, right? But the ultimate deal is we can't control that. You can't control how much money you earned in the past. You earned what you earned. Like, that's part of the equation. So it's how much did I earn during my career, number one. Number two, how long are you going to live? Can't control that. But you can control the third one, and that's how and when you elect your benefits. That's why it's so important to make sure that you make your election at the right time, not only for you, not only for spousal benefits, but for also survivorship benefits. Because guys, guess what? Women live longer than us.
Yeah.
Newsflash. So make sure that we're taking care of our spouse and our women here and making sure that they have enough income, because at a death of a married couple that have both elected benefits, at a death, it's the higher of the two benefits is what the surviving spouse gets. So make sure that you have a plan considering all three of these benefit types, not just yours, not just your spouse's, but those survivorship benefits. I can't stress that enough, Tony, but how and when you elect your benefits, bottom line, is the most important thing.
Yeah. So many people don't consider their spouse when they file, right?
Right.
And they don't consider the survivor benefits and what they're doing to them. I mean, and this is traditional and stereotypical. It's changed somewhat over the years. But like you said, women tend to outlive men. And a lot of times the female in the relationship, the wives, they took time off work and won't have as high. Now this is changing. I don't want to stereotype, but a lot of women, maybe they left the workforce to raise a family.
Yeah.
And then the husband kept working, so he's going to have the bigger benefit
amount.
That's right. But then when he retires, I've read, Brock, that, I mean, it's a huge majority of people. I think 85%, 90% of people file early. Right. I mean, it's a big percentage of people. It's over half. It's somewhere between 50 and 100% of people that end up filing as soon as they can at 62 because they hear, hey, they think they're going to get more checks or their neighbor did that.
Right.
But that's not necessarily true. The best thing to do, might be leaving your spouse. You're locking in a lower amount.
Yeah. Right? You're locking in a lower amount. You're missing out on your delayed retirement credits. It's just, you know, one of those things where it could be the right decision, but I'll tell you, Tony, I've been doing this for a long time. It's not a likely best case solution, right?
Yeah.
To take it at age 62. So you're eligible to take your benefits with Social Security at age 62. Your full retirement age for people born after 1960 or older or later is 67 years old. And so, so that's your full retirement age. And then you can defer all the way up to age 70. Now the increased amounts from your full retirement age to age 70 are somewhere between 8%, 7 and 8%. So that's a significant increase in benefit. Now, your personal situation comes into this big time, right? Because now we don't know that, okay, if you can't make your financial picture work and you run out of money because you waited on taking Social Security, well then, you know, what's the old saying? You can't get blood out of a turnip. I mean, there's things that you just can't help. And so there's extenuating circumstances.
Right.
But you want to make sure that this strategy for you and when you're going to take your benefits is totally customized to you and your family's financial situation.
Yeah.
And so,
and once you lock in that benefit, it's pretty much over with. I mean, unless it's within a few months of filing, there is a crazy process you can go through, but it's not very common. Otherwise, after that, you're locked in.
You're locked in, man.
And if you lock in that lower amount and you live for another 30 years, you know, you probably made the wrong decision, but you have to look at your own situation. Do you have to have the money? Are you going to keep working at all? You know, what's your health like? Right. And there's so many factors, right?
So here's the bottom line is that I can't stress this enough, much like a lot of financial topics when it comes to retirement planning. Work with somebody that understands this stuff.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it out and making it simple and saying, oh, I'm just going to take it at 62 or full retirement age. Why? What's your reasoning behind it? Most of the time, you can't answer that question. Why? Because you don't have the knowledge and the background to do it. That's what people like me exist for, is to help you do that.
And there are thousands of calculations that go into it.
20,000 a lot of times for a married couple, right?
Because you have a report you can run.
Yeah.
That's a personalized report for it's individualized for people based on their information. It's called the Social Security Maximization Report. And before we go today, we'll let people know how they can get that and schedule an appointment with you or get that run. But first, before we go, I think that's good on Social Security.
Yeah,
you bottom lined it for us.
Give us a call at Alsball Wealth Management. We can help you. Like Tony said, just all we need is what what we call primary insurance amount, which is your monthly amount that you would get at full retirement age. It's your full retirement FRA, full retirement age. So if we get that number, we can run that report for you.
Yeah.
And we'll do it at no cost at Alsball Wealth Management. So give us a call or look us up on our website, which is alsballwealthmanagement.com.
All right. Now, before we go, we promised to tease.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got a new podcast.
Yeah.
And an area that you've been working in. And some of our listeners and viewers out there may be small business owners or big business owners or medium-sized business owners.
Yeah.
I know we have a lot of your clients and some of our regular listeners own their own businesses.
Yeah.
And you are starting you've been working toward helping these people, and we're going to do a new podcast.
Yes.
I believe it's going to be called The Business Owner's Playbook.
Right.
We're going to check that out. It's either The Business Playbook or The Business Owner's Playbook.
I think the bottom line is that working with business owners is kind of what our niches as well. I love it. We're still helping retirees in Southeast Missouri and beyond,
sure.
But really working with business owners is my passion. I'm a business owner myself, and let's face it, we have challenges that not everybody has, and we have needs that not everybody has, and we have, investment solutions that are available that that, quite frankly, are just not being talked about by most advisors when it comes to working with business owners. It's like you need to have, if you own a business, you need to have a financial advisor that understands what you're going through, the challenges you face, and how that there are investment strategies and other strategies, tax deferral strategies that can help you navigate those waters a little bit better than just, you know, a basic strategy. It's not these cookie cutter strategies, just like with working with retirees. And we just talked about, you know, a customized strategy for Social Security. A business owner needs a specific strategy as well. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited about kicking this show off. We're going to create another podcast, as Tony said, and it'll probably be a few weeks before we start, but it's been very, very exciting to do that. And, you know, honestly, if you're a business owner, like, give us a call. We can share details as to how we're different and working with business owners. So we're going to keep it on our same website. It just be a separate section that's coming up soon too. Just a lot of really cool changes, Tony, and I'm that's super awesome. Excited about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you'll cover a lot of things like succession planning for business owners, what to do with your business and you know, hey, how do I retire from my business? And what if I want to leave it to my family? What if I want to sell it? Well, you know, how do I do these things? Right.
Tony, I get this comment a lot when I'm working with business owners now before we start our process with them. And I ask the question, you know, what is this? What does your business mean to you? Like, what is your retirement income plan? What are you going to do with your business? And a lot of people say, well, my business is my retirement plan. Okay, that might be true, but what are you, how are you actually going to implement that? So number one is, who are you going to sell to?
Yeah.
Right. How are you going to sell it?
Yeah.
And so it presents a pretty big challenge. And if you ask someone, okay, who are you going to sell your business to? What's your business succession plan? What are you doing now to set yourself up for the best success when you're ready to sell it? And so it's been, you know, it's one of those where most people, and I'll just be honest, can't answer those questions.
Right. I mean, because they're caught up in, you know, as a business owner, boy, you're busy running the business.
That's right.
You're not thinking about, oh, what do I need to start doing to eventually, and you're not doing all of the things that probably need to be done because you're busy with the day to day.
You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And
you've never done it before.
And you've never done it before.
Right. And I know you've worked with a lot of businesses and business owners, and you know, to specialize in this area, I think it's great to have that guidance. So I'm looking forward to
me too, Tony.
We're going to get into that. It'll be a separate podcast.
Yeah.
It may even have its own YouTube channel. We'll see. We're getting it all set up now. But Brock, one last thing. I have one last question for you before we go.
Sure.
Who is or was the greatest wide receiver in NFL history? Who's considered the GOAT?
Okay. For that, I have a prop.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's see.
I'm going to answer this question for you. Okay. I think it's Jerry Rice.
Holy shnikes. Is that his actual autograph on a football?
That's his actual autograph on a football. Yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah, I'm going to need you to, that would be, make a nice Christmas gift for me.
I'm just saying to a certain person named Chad Wrestler may have called him Jerry Jones. I don't know.
Oh, but, Chad Wrestler introduced him at this big financial conference after he just got done talking about how his most despised rivalry was the Cowboys. Chad Wrestler got up and said, thank you to Jerry Jones for speaking today and called Jerry Rice Jerry Jones. We had to mention that little inside joke, but Jerry Rice handled it well.
He didn't
seem to be upset by it.
No, he's good.
He was really nice. It was an honor to get to meet him.
It was.
And he signed that football for you, so that's nice. I had to work that in because you happened to get that today.
Yep.
We've been holding it for you because he got it autographed and you didn't fly back with it. So, right. Yeah, now you're taking it. But at any rate, thanks for listening and tuning in. We really appreciate you, our listeners and viewers. And that does it for today's episode of The Retirement Playbook with the one, the only, Brock Allspaugh.
Thank you for joining us for The Retirement Playbook. Don't head into retirement without a strategy that addresses both income and taxes. For more information, please contact Brock Alsbaugh at Alsbaugh Wealth Management at 573-332-7855 or visit alsbaughwealthmanagement.com now. Join us again soon for another episode of the Retirement Playbook.
Advisory services are offered through Alsbaugh Wealth Management, LLC, an investment advisor in the state of Missouri. Insurance products and services are offered through Innovative Insurance Consultants, LLC, an affiliated company.
We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent. All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.